First reading this morning comes from Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 to 9 and 15 to 25. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground. But a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and this one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and there in heaven a door stood open, and the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there in heaven stood a throne, with one seated on the throne. And the one seated there looks like jasper and cornelian, and around the throne is a rainbow that looks like an emerald. Around the throne are 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones are 24 elders dressed in white robes, with golden crowns on their heads. Coming from the throne are flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and in front of the throne burn seven flaming torches, which are the seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne there is something like a sea of glass, like crystal. Around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, and the second creature like an ox, the third living creature with a face like a human face, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and inside. Day and night without ceasing they sing, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God the Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honour and thanks to the one who is seated on the throne, who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall before the one who is seated on the throne and worship the one who lives for ever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, singing, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ According to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
One day Jesus got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out. And while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A gale swept down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed and said to one another, "Who then is this, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm waiting with anticipation, because I know one morning we'll look out of that window and see the magnolia tree in the vicarage garden burst into life. The reason I'm anticipating it is my spirits are always lifted at a natural visual scene. Those views, you've seen them, that take your breath away. A mountain top view, a night sky displaying a multitude of stars. And needless to say, the past few days of clear blue skies and sunshine have been a real lift to the spirits. Last week, I looked out early and a morning mist filtered across the River Colne, opposite the vicarage. The swans stretched out their wings, more snowdrops have erupted overnight, and the sun eased its way into the day. But in contrast, at the end of the day, an incredible sunset. A palette of crimson and fiery orange splattered across the sky. It sounds like I'm a bit of a would-be poet or an old romantic, and you would be right. Such scenes often give us a glimpse of God's creation. So I enjoyed reading and then listening again to the reading from Genesis this morning. Those visual accounts found in that wonderful book. A spectacular prologue as chaos is thrown into order. Light separated from darkness, moon and stars created, water from land, vegetation, bird life, animals coming into being. In the beginning, God created. The result of the creative purpose of a personal God. The scene set for the whole revelation of God in the Bible. But the pinnacle, the amazing thing, God's crowning achievement, get this, is that God then created humankind. His core passion is us, made in his image. His core desire to be with us in friendship, to give us everything that is good. A love on our part that must be freely given to him. If not, it isn't love at all. So he blesses us with the precious gift of free will. Then suddenly we are transported into the book of Revelation, assuring us of John's vision that the best is yet to come. God's trumpet calls the church home. A beautiful visionary scene depicting Jesus who came in flesh, now revealed, risen, resurrected, and exalted on high. The Alpha, the Omega, the A to Z of everything that is Jesus. The Lamb of God who shed his blood that we might be glorified too. So surely now our senses are on overload. And then Jesus places us in the center of a storm, if we hadn't had enough, dramatically in the eye of the storm. Wow. I was never partial to clowns or fond of magicians when I was a child, except for Tommy Cooper. I'm giving my age away now. He got the trick wrong and often broke the rules and let you in on the act. However, on one occasion, Tommy Cooper got his trick right, and that intrigued me. He used a small table covered with a cloth, and on the table was laid out plates and cups and glasses. He suddenly whisked the cloth away, and items on the table remained in place, totally undisturbed. Tricks often come with a warning, "Don't try this at home," but I couldn't resist. It was just a pity, my mother remarked after my debut performance, that I'd used the best crockery. Suddenly in life, the cloth, the carpet, our security blanket gets whisked out from under us. And although God's love for us and his presence remains as before, very much in place, the situation creates a sudden unexpected trauma. A storm arises. The waves of panic can overwhelm us. The power of the storm is in its suddenness. Calm one minute, violent the next. The power of a storm is often in its severity, in the guise of maybe unexpected news and the outcome of test results. Well, my security blanket has been whisked from me many a times. My calm and comfortable mill pond of a life has at times become a raging turbulency. And I'm sure some of you here can identify with that. Why did we think that we would be shielded from the sudden difficulties and storms that arise naturally in our lives? In a difficult moment, courage can fail. In a moment of crisis, faith can fail. I must have felt like saying many a time, "Jesus, don't you care that I'm drowning here?" Trust Jesus in the storms of our life, but how do we do this? How do we practice faith in those testing moments of life? But faith can still the frantic heartbeat, create a sense of peace, can level out the waves. Courage can and will waver, but keep the faith. In the short time that they had known Jesus, the disciples had witnessed a man who could do some pretty amazing things. They actually saw him cast out demons. They saw him heal and restore people. The blind see, the lame walk. They had listened to his incredible teaching, teaching that transformed people's lives. They knew he was no ordinary man. They were being prepared to go out and do the same as him. Yet still they were not convinced. In a moment of crisis, they were challenged to believe and trust. How would we have reacted if we were part of that crew that day? How would we respond to fear and faith? The lake at Galilee was well known for sudden storms. They brewed up out of nowhere. I've been there. I've seen it. It has a strange ecosystem of its own that agitated calm waters. The disciples knew this. They were fishermen. At the start of the day, there could be blue, clear skies and a gentle breeze. And then suddenly, a terrifying storm would erupt. Jesus, we hear, was asleep, no doubt quite exhausted. There he slept, cushioned and comfortable in the stern of the boat, after a tiring day, no doubt. And now abruptly woken by his friends in blind panic. "Master, Master, can't you see we are going to drown?" The sudden storm tests the disciples' faith. Then this amazing response of Jesus, still in the storm, a physical miracle. He has the power to control the wind and the waves and their destructive nature. He shows his power and authority, reflecting the Creator and the Father. Now the disciples at last truly wonder, who is this man? When Jesus woke up, when he was fully awake, And in their presence, their courage begins to return as well. In his very presence, the fear within them begins to calm. His presence creates a peace within them. And even in the very worst of storms, even in their moments of crisis, if we sense his presence and we sense his peace, we just might find the courage and the strength to weather the storm. So those moments when problems occur, when we do not know which way to turn, when the waves feel like 20 feet above our heads, we sense our spirit sinking. In that moment, we reveal our faith, and fear will ease. Where you find fear, faith is absent. Where you find faith, fear is gone. It is often in the storms of our lives, the dark days, that we do not always weaken, but create an opportunity to develop faith. A sudden crisis can help us view Jesus in a new way. I have met people drowning in their sorrows, whose lives are falling apart, and yet they grow in faith, somehow handle the crisis in a different way. And certainly the disciples now view Jesus differently from now on. By journeying with him that day, they see God's sovereign power being unleashed, the divine power of the Son of God. The same awesome power that created the world in the very beginning. This man, whose death would turn the spiritual basis of the world upside down, and so confident is Jesus, he's drifted off to sleep. Who is it then, you ask yourself, that even the wind and sea obey? Who is it then when in the storms of life, when the cloth is whisked from the table and that Jesus remains in place constant and unchanged? Well, we find out when we journey with him, when we meet him partway, and just maybe the disciples calmed down in the boat that day and they grew in courage and strength and they were able to stop wailing and start bailing. Bailing out the water in the boat. In the presence of Jesus, we can be enabled, empowered, and encouraged to meet him partway and begin to repair the storm damage together. Amen. Please sit or kneel for our prayers.
When the storms overwhelm us and in the midst of the tempest, Jesus, deepen our faith. Help us, O God, to know our limitations. Keep us from the sin of pride and the pursuit of success, that we may follow in the footsteps of Christ, who walked with poor and ate with the sinners, and submitted to death that we might have eternal life. Heavenly Father, we pray for your church on earth, and ask that you will direct and guide her as she seeks to love and serve you. May we never be swayed by the pressures around us, and so move where you lead. May we be blessed with your wisdom, and have the courage to speak out when we need to. And help each one of us, Lord, to pick up our crosses and walk with you. At unexpected or undeserved suffering, support us, and when we are at the end of our energy, we ask you to revive and revitalize us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our world, which is so often seems to be overwhelmed by conflict, yet a world that holds so much good. God, you are in us, Creator and Father, who holds all authority over nature. Today we bring before you, Lord, those whose authority and decisions affect the lives of so many people and the health of this planet. We pray that they may exercise honesty and sensitivity in all of their dealings, and that they will have the strength to retain integrity, even in testing times and in times of crisis. And that in all decisions they may work for justice and a fair share of the world's resources. We pray for this parish and for those who make their home in Coombs Road. We pray for our friends, our family, neighbours and colleagues. We give thanks for all those people who brighten and enrich our lives, and for those we find difficult to love. We pray for those in our community who feel they're unloved and worthless, for those who feel they have gone so far down the wrong path that they cannot turn around, for those who have succumbed to temptation and now live with the consequences. Surround them, Lord, with the right people who will guide them onto the right path, people who will show them their true worth, and may they know that despite all, they are valued and loved by you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who suffer in mind, body, or spirit. And this morning we pray for those whose emotional pain makes it difficult for them to accept your love and forgiveness. We pray for those who feel that their lives are spinning out of control and feel that there is no hope left. In a few moments of silence, we pray for those who have asked for our prayers, for those whose names are known only to us, and remembering to hold before God those whose name is known only to him. And in our prayers, we ask for your healing presence for Pat Naseby. Gracious Lord, give comfort and healing to those who are ill, peace to those who are anxious, and reassurance to those who are afraid. And we offer ourselves to be available wherever we are needed to do your work. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, we commend to your love and mercy all those who are dying and all those who have made their journey through death. Now, with their crosses laid down, may they rest in the peace of your embrace. As we remember those who we have known and loved, we also remember Christine Keach and Bill Chippington, who have died recently. Rest eternal grant to them, O Lord. Let light perpetual shine upon them. May they rest in peace and rise in glory. As we gather this morning in a few minutes of silence, may we offer to God our own personal prayers, passing over to him our anxieties, giving him our thanks, and in faith and hope, making our supplications. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we give you thanks for the loving example of Jesus, who was obedient even to death. Give us thankful hearts to bless your name, when in sadness and in joy, knowing that as we journey with our cross, you are always there beside us. And finally, we join our prayers with all the saints as we say together, Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.